All right, so let's get into our Nickel and Dime series, the book of Esther. We're in chapter number 3. And I hope you are enjoying this book. We're kind of getting cranked up a little bit now, a little bit more about the seriousness of what takes place. Now, to recap just a little bit, for those of you who are here, Mordecai, who's the cousin of Esther, who pretty much was a father figure to her, one of his offices or roles is to be at the king's gate. Also, he has a connection to Esther as the queen. He has met her at times and talked to her, no doubt has been praying for her. But he finds out there is an assassination plan, a plot to kill the king. It mentions this in the last part of chapter number 2. And we'll just go ahead and read it. In those days, verse 21, chapter 2, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, they sound like a bad group there, don't they? Of those which kept the door were wroth. And I mentioned this last week that it might be that they were wroth because they had connections to Queen Vashti and she was no longer queen. And if they were chamberlains, they might have had interaction with her or oversight with her as far as some of her care, making sure that as a servants to her. But now, whatever happened, they're keeping the door. And they're mad. And they sought to lay hand on the king, Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. So he gets partial credit or information connected to it that he was the one who revealed the plot. And when inquisition was made, in verse 23, the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And I mentioned this last week as well. This is not talking about the first and second Chronicles in your Bible, because that is a chronicle of the Jewish kings. This is a chronicle of the Persian kings. It was recorded. That'll come back to be very important later. But with all that in mind, we go into chapter number 3. And the Bible says in verse number 1, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman? Not Mordecai. Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So we're going to look at this chapter and move through verse by verse here. And I want to bring up the thought, the discouragement when others are promoted and you are overlooked. Now, it's not that Mordecai would have had the same opportunity to be in the position of Haman. Haman comes out of left field, so to speak. We don't know anything about him until we get to this point. But he is in a position to be promoted, and he was the one chosen by King Ahasuerus. But I do want to bring out that it is hard to watch others who you know do not deserve promotion. And you have done things worthy to be promoted. Now, we got to be real careful how we assess ourselves. We always value ourselves usually higher than, maybe a little higher than we should sometimes. But we also understand what humility is. You don't want to degrade yourself and devalue yourself because you do have worth, there's no doubt. And regardless, God is on the throne. He is in control of our lives. And we have to learn to be content and trust Him. But I wonder if Mordecai, after this took place, the assassination attempt was stopped, the king's life was saved, his name's connected to it, and all that will happen, it was recorded in a book. And then after that, Haman gets promoted. And when you start looking at what's going on, even though you trust God, there's a lot of opportunities to begin to doubt God. Because now here comes Haman in a position, and he does not like Mordecai. And Mordecai does not like him. And so it begins to be a little a conflict that begins to arise here. And I just wanted to bring that out, though. It's hard sometimes to do that. That can test your faith. It's even more difficult if you see someone that gets the same, you are qualified for the same job, and they get it and you don't, and you've been praying and hoping and longing and you didn't get it. And you keep sitting back. We've often studied the life of Joseph. Joseph had a lot of disappointments and had to wait on God and trust God. And instead of things getting better and better and better, they got worse and worse. But God was still working. Understand that Ahasuerus is not the only one on the throne. God's on the throne. Amen. God's in control. And anytime Jewish people come in contact with these Gentile nations, that's why God thought it was worthy to record. If it's not recorded in the Bible, it's because God chose not to have it put in the Bible. There's a reason for it. So these things can test our faith, and it seemed as Mordecai's actions of saving the king were really unnoticed for the most part. And whatever Haman did to get on the radar and get promoted, if you'll stay with us in this study, you'll kind of find, you kind of have a sense here that he probably buttered the bread on both sides. Let me just put it that way. He probably nosed his way into these things. He's probably one of those who doesn't deserve it, or somehow you can just see they snookered and fooled somebody. And Haman gets set into this position, and he will abuse this position. And it's hard to see abuse take place like that and wonder, as the psalmist many times did in the book of Psalms, where is God? What is God doing? Because I don't see his hand. I've mentioned to you before. Thus far, we have not seen God's name in this book. Guess what? You will never see his name in this book in any form or fashion. In the book of Esther, the name of God is not written or recorded as Jehovah, El Shaddai, any of those things. He's not mentioned. His people are, and I'll just tell you this, if the Jews are mentioned in this book, God's in their lives. He's there. He's watching. And if it matters to you, and you're saved, it matters to God. He's there. He's watching your life. You have to learn to trust that. Because Joseph had to wait on God. Now, in the book of Psalm 75, verse 6, I'm just reading this to you. Here's what the Bible says about promotion. If this could be applied to you, it may not be. Promotion cometh neither from the east. Which way's east? Anybody know? Sun's going down in the west. East? Okay, y'all not participating. Nor from the west, nor from the south. Which one did it leave out? The north. Why would it leave out the north? Well, the only thing I can think of is I'm supposed to look up. I'm supposed to look up to God. Promotion comes from above, from the Lord. A believer believes God promotes or demotes us. And we have to trust him. Whether he gives Paul a thorn in the flesh or whatever God does, as our message was given to us Monday night, talking about the sovereignty of God, or we might talk about the providence of God, that God is on the throne, he's at work, he's in control, he knows what's best, we need to trust him. Doesn't mean we can't pray and ask God to change things, because he's proven a million times that he can change outcomes, because all those different roads of the outcome, because God is so big, it won't change the end game for God. He can get you there 1,000 different ways, but you're going to get to where he wants you to be. Let me reread this. Anybody notice, it's not on there now because I cut it off, but the Esther flyer or the image up there, Esther 4:13, talks about for such a time as this. That is the most important theme of this whole scripture, that God is putting things in position for a certain time. And this is why Esther is going to be queen for this critical time, and God promotes and sets down. Psalm 75, 7, the Bible says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one. I didn't mean to point it when you specifically, but my sound effects, I probably need to upgrade on the software there. He putteth down one, and he set up another. Now, when it comes to elections in our country, I do not have much confidence in our voting process. I have struggled for many, many decades thinking that somebody might not get in and someone else did. But God is still in control. He puts them up and sets them down. He could take anyone out. He can put anyone in anytime he wants to. There is a reason and a purpose. We may not see it. There may be an Esther in the background. There may be something going on. It could be that we are really getting close to the Lord coming back, and all this stuff has to wind up. Israel has to be in the news. Every nation will eventually turn against them. One of these days, all this prophecy is going to come to pass. Until then, we keep carrying on until he calls us home. Joseph had to wait on God, but I'll tell you this, God, it was worth it. It's worth waiting on the Lord. Mordecai does not get promoted. It doesn't say in the scripture that he wanted to be promoted. But it is interesting to see, as he did something that was worthy of accolade, worthy of recognition, here comes Haman in the picture. And I don't know how many of you ever read the book of Esther, studied it, or know anything about Haman? Some of you do. I know some of you might not. Okay. Well, if you don't, most likely, no matter how lovey-dovey you are in Christ Jesus, you're probably not going to like Haman very much. You're probably going to learn to hate him. So let's move on. Here is a distinct promotion of Haman given in verse 2 through 5. So as he is mentioned here, he is advanced and set above all the princes that were with him. And in verse 2, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed. Anybody ever bow before a person before? Anybody? Some of you might have seen some royalty or something. Anybody? Any of you ever curtsy? I'm not even going to try to curtsy, so don't look at me. I'd probably break something trying to. I've never bowed before a human in my life. All my bowing has been to God. And that is the nature of the Jewish religion, that they would not bow to worship an idol or worship a person. Now, there is reference in the scripture many times of people bowing down before kings and giving reverence to them. So that brings up, as I mentioned, it's kind of funny sometimes, you'll read things and you'll try to figure out what's the big deal as we unload all this. Mordecai's not going to bow and respect Haman. He's not bowing to him. And some have written books on why did he not bow. Isn't that interesting to write a whole book on that? Some believe he had an idol hanging around his neck, and Mordecai's not going to bow in reference to that idol. Some believe Mordecai would not bow to Haman because he was not worthy to be respected in that position. Even though the king commanded it, Mordecai refused to do it. So this puts Mordecai on the radar. There's always going to be a time where your faith's going to be pressured and tested to such a degree. You can hide in the shadows all you want. And it may look like God may never even recognize you when you save the king's life. But there's going to come a day when you stand for God. You're going to be on the radar. It's going to happen. So in this promotion, as Haman is put into this position, it is understood in history that he was a confidential minister to the king, very close to the king. We'll find that even in this chapter. I know we won't finish the chapter tonight, but we'll find that he spends a lot of confidential time with the king. In this position that he has, he is given great power and authority over many princes. He has authority over the provinces. And the king has commanded, look at verse 2, all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had commanded concerning him. So you see that? You get that in your scripture? The king said, you're supposed to do this. The king said, bow to him like you would bow to me. But in verse 2 it says, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. So in this understanding, I want you to look at a couple of things. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I believe Mordecai valued Haman in this category, that he was promoted, but there would be shame that would come because he was a foolish person in his position. Now, the Bible says in verse 3, then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, and remember, where does Mordecai work? The king's gate. All right. These servants said unto Mordecai, verse 3, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? You notice how they worded that, Brother Donnie? What does transgresseth mean? I mean, that's a strong word. If somebody says this, transgressions or the transgressor, that means it's a sinner. You have sinned. You have missed the mark. You have disobeyed the commandment, whether it was the law of God or an act or a decree of a king. And these servants turned to Mordecai who no doubt so far I've protected his testimony in your eyes, you're not going to think of him as a sinner or a rebellious person against the kingdom. But he loves Esther and cares about Esther. And here these servants look to him and say, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Why are you doing this? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him. Can you imagine that? You ever had anybody ask you daily why you believe what you believe about something, or why you're doing a certain thing at work or in your family every time you get around a family event, Thanksgiving or Christmas? And why do you pray over your food? Or why do you go to church all the time? Or why do you do that? Why do you read your Bible? Always pecking and pushing and trying to find why you believe, why you are what you are in your faith. And they did this to him daily, and he hearkened not unto them. And the Bible says that they told Haman. Ever been told on before? I got in a fight in middle school. It really wasn't much of a fight. But this one little minion fella, now not the yellow looking critters that you've seen on the TV, but he was a minion because the boss bully dude, you know, he worked for him. He ran his mouth, threatened me, so I, you know, feeling pretty tough. I didn't back down. And so I ran my mouth back at him, and he went and told the big boy. And the big boy come and popped me right in the face. And so that was the end of that fight. Anyhow, they went and told Haman. Do you get the gist of this? It's like every day, why won't you bow to the king every time, not to the king, but Haman. Every time Haman comes around, you don't bow to him. The king said you ought to bow to him every day, and Mordecai would not bow. Now, the scripture goes on to say that they told Haman to see. You ever anybody tell on somebody? Your kids, I know, do this, to see what will happen. Some people just like to see what will happen. They just want to see the world burn, or they want to see you get your britches burned. They want to see you get in trouble. And so as they had to do it, and probably they didn't want to do it either, but Mordecai wasn't doing it, so they told Haman. And they told Haman, the scripture says, to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. What a powerful phrase. Whether what mattered to him and how he stood and refused to bow, whether what the pressure would come if he would really back down and he would still continue to stand in that position. You ever been called out on a position that you took to see whether you could keep standing in that same position? You get tested sometimes. Well, we'll just see. We'll just see if it matters. You remember the Columbine shooting? I know some of you are not old enough to remember that. Some of those kids in that Colorado high school, those two boys were killing everybody. They threatened certain Christian believers there. They pointed them out, and they threatened them with their life if they were to deny they knew Christ, to see if they would stand in the matter, like this verse is talking about. And some of them died refusing to deny their Lord and Savior. That's real faith. That's real stand. Now, Mordecai could have had a chance, as even Daniel and those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the music was played and everybody bows before the idol, give you another opportunity to see whether these matters will stand. Let's see if you're going to really matter to you. See if you're going to stand the same way when Haman comes. And here's the reason. For he had told them that he was a Jew. Somewhere along the way, Brother Jeremy, every day they kept saying, how come you don't bow? Somehow or another, he finally had to reveal, I'm a Jew. And whether it was an idol hanging around his neck, or he said, I'm not going to bow to him. He doesn't deserve this honor. This man is a foolish man. This man's a wicked man. I don't know what his argument was, but he did bring up his religion, the fact of his faith, that he was a Jew. And, of course, this is going to stir the whole pot of the whole matter of what's going on. In verse 5, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not. Now, it may be that he did not notice it every time. It could have been that they're the ones that pointed out. You ever had anybody, until they pointed it out, you were getting away with it pretty good. There's always people like that in our lives. Now, Haman sees this, and he sees that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath. This disrespect, my next point, this disrespect by Mordecai of Haman. To them, these servants, he was just refusing to bow. To Mordecai, he was obeying his God. Now, it all sounds real good, cute, and fuzzy, but a lot of people have died for standing for their faith. And we live in a day where this may happen to us. The possibility may increase as you stand on God's word and refuse to bow down to the idols and images and the laws of this world, that you may have to take a stand that will put you in jail or make you very unpopular, or you might could even die for that. It doesn't seem like that could happen now. Well, we live in a Western culture and we are very protected, but there are people right this very minute who are in danger of dying in other countries all across the world for their Christian faith. It's not far from taking over in America. So there's a disrespect here by Haman, but there is a disobedience to bow down before Haman here. And whether it was an idol around his neck or it was about the man who was commanded to bow down to, even though the king had commanded the same honor be given, Haman disrespected that. He disobeyed those orders. Now understand, I just wrote these a few things down. Sometimes the reason why Mordecai or people like Mordecai act like they do concerning people's respect and honor, we got to understand this. Some people are hard to honor. They're very dishonorable in their actions. Now you, as a believer, I've even taught this to my children. Sometimes you just need to honor the title and the position of that person. They may not be very honorable, but you honor the title of that position. Now, when it comes to the king, he's got a pretty important title. But to me, it almost feels like Haman has a made-up title and position. You ever seen that in politics in the United States of America? Well, it's like somebody been spending some quality time with the president, or one of those people rubbing elbows, and all of a sudden we have a newly appointed person in this cabinet or this position or a brand new title altogether, a brand new department. You know, our government is full of those categories, departments and titles, and a lot of them really don't have a lot of usage. It was just probably some power thing. Somebody promised something along the way. But that's what I kind of feel like Mordecai respected or thought about who Haman was. How I want to bring this out to you. When the king would enter, they would bow. When Haman would enter, people were supposed to bow. And Haman gets upset, and sometimes power and position goes to some people's heads. They just can't handle it. You ever had any jerk bosses? I mean, really jerky, I mean, just jerks. If you never have, been very fortunate. But there are some people, power goes to their heads. I remember as a manager of the furniture store, I had a district manager who come around. I don't know if he wore an Armani suit or what it was, but he'd come in strutting. He was a nice looking guy, and I wasn't attracted to him or nothing, but he knew he was a steady looking dude, and he'd come in there worth $1 billion, and he'd come in there and he had such an attitude, and he always looked to find fault and everything, because otherwise he really wouldn't have much position or reason for his job to exist if he couldn't find that you failed somewhere. And no matter how hard we worked, he always found failure. And he was a jerk and would embarrass us, and he embarrassed me many times. And I struggled as a Christian how to respond to him. I really struggled with him. And I want you to understand demanding things from people. Here, understand that there was a command to have people bow when Haman walked into the room. Now, how we act and respond to something that is a command or a law or something is legal is very important. When you see how people act on the other side of that coin, those who get upset when you don't treat them better, you don't respect them higher, you don't act like they are more important than anyone else in the room. And that is something that I believe that Mordecai struggled with. And that reveals the character of a person. It really does. It's like If we were to make up some title, I'd give it to somebody in here, and in overnight, you said, "Preacher, I'll talk to you about Sally." No, I'm just kidding. I'm picking on her again. Y'all should have never told me that. Those nickname things y'all were doing. We'll pick on Joe. Is there a Joe in here? There's not a Joe in here. With Miss Ustry, but we won't pick on her. And he said, ever since you promoted or gave them that title, they're just hard to get along with. They act like they're better than everybody else, and they condescend. They look down on us. They don't treat us right. They won't speak to us. And they spray painted out there in the front, and they got their own parking space, and they put their name out there. I mean, what's going on? They got their own office and everything. What's going on? Some people, that happens to them. And how you how that goes on reveals their character, and how you respond reveals your character. Now, if there's no humility and no mercy or grace, which it describes Haman pretty good if you'll stick in this book, people in leadership and management sometimes that we have to interact with, we should not, if you get promoted as well, you should not demand with a certain type of spirit about you, like you are deserving of this. That's not meekness. Meekness is a Christian characteristic that you should have. If you get promoted, you should be humble about it. You should be meek about it. You should not forget where you came from. You should not forget the work that you've done or the people that are working under you. And we should not demand with such a spirit that is beyond the spirit of the command. And I don't think the king really gave him all this authority, understanding how it would ruin, how this was going to come down. And I know you don't have time to go through all this, but I've told you before, Haman's going to get such hatred after Mordecai that it's not going to be enough to kill Mordecai. He wants to kill everybody in Mordecai's race. Everybody that's a Jew, Haman's going to say, "I want all of them dead in all the provinces." That's how much hatred he's going to have. And that spirit of that command was not for that. And that shows you the nature, the character of his heart. And I think Haman had hoped somehow he was going to trap Mordecai in his Jewish religion with this not bowing kind of thing. And all these Jewish traditions and religious things that they have done being in this culture. Remember, we've studied in the book of Ezra. That kind of bleeds in for a few years connected together. And they go and they build the altars together. There were times that there was favor there. Here's a time where the favor is not around. And Haman is definitely angry with Mordecai not bowing to him. He is full of wrath. So verse 6, we see the destruction of the Jews is planned by Haman. Verse 6, so Haman is full of wrath, and here in verse 6 it says, and he thought, scorn, to lay hands on Mordecai alone. What does that mean? He didn't think it was worth just taking Mordecai out or bringing it up, which he could have, Brother Jeremy. He could have said, you know the command you gave about people bowing? There's only one man not bowing, that Mordecai guy. He will not bow to me. And they would have pressured it. They would have pushed it. Either he'd have went to jail or whatever. But yet he thinks, you know, that's not good enough, just going after him alone. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai. The servants apparently mentioned it. You know, all of these Jewish people, throughout all the 127 provinces of Persia, all of them act like this. They don't worship this. They don't do that. They bow to this. They only believe. Can you believe this, Donnie? They only believe in one God, only one. Very unusual. Most all those Eastern cultures out here have multiple gods, and many of them, even like the Egyptians and others, they believe that the kings on the thrones were gods themselves. So he thought and sought to destroy all the Jews, the Bible said in verse 6. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now, look at me just a second. Is somebody missing in this story that we know that's a Jew? Esther. What's her title? She's the queen. Going to be very interesting in this story to figure out how is this all going to reconcile? as Haman's working to annihilate every Jew, he doesn't know that one of them is the queen of all of Persia. For such a time as this, God has placed his chess piece on the board. And the queen does a lot of movement in the chess world. I'll just say this for the sake of the phrases. Haman's playing checkers. Amen. He's not, in fact, he might not only have but one or two checkers. But he's going to get a lot done and think he's going a long way with it and probably feel like he's a puppet master controlling the king. And the king is going to give him anything he wants and everything that he wants. He planned to go after the whole race of the Jews with all their religious ways and what he would call disrespect and a danger to the empire, as it was brought out to him that the whole kingdom was full of them. Then in verse number 7, in the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, P-U-R. That is the lot. So there's the definition of what Pur is, or Pur. And we'll get the Feast of Purim will come from this, which the Jews still celebrate today, the Feast of Purim. They celebrate the fact that God delivers them, and the history connects to this very book. That's powerful to know. They still celebrate this holiday even now. So what is this lot? Now, we were teaching this in Proverbs. Some of y'all weren't in Sunday school, but some of you were. The thought of casting a lot comes to the idea of like when you flip a coin, or you might draw straws, or you might draw somebody's name on some pieces of paper and draw them out, right? Say, somebody's knocking at the door, you go answer it, Joey. You know, you drew the lot. That's kind of the mentality. And this was a big thing to their culture in the Persian Empire. So the Bible says, in this 12th year, this first month, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day. So every day they're rolling these, maybe they've got little knuckle bones or some kind of dice or some kind of pieces of wood, and they've got lucky days, special days, and they're just rolling this stuff out, casting it out, looking for this special day to do this. What is this they're wanting to do? Kill all the Jews. So they're doing it from day to day. You ever try to roll something in maybe one of those board games or something, and you roll it and you can't get it, and you roll it again? That's kind of what they're doing here. Over and over, it's like, no, that's not a good day. So they do it from day to day, from month to month, trying to find this special day to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people. So they get this date ready to go. And this day is going to be 12-13. It's going to be the 12th month on the 13th day. And so they get this date together. And in verse 8, the Bible says, Haman said unto the king. Doesn't even say that he made an appointment. It just gives you the understanding. He had easy access to the king. Talked to him a lot. And he says to the king, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. You see where he's going? He's going the negative. You got a lot of people scattered throughout the kingdom here and mixed in with all the people. And they got different laws. They're diverse, very odd laws, which the Jews do. You know, a lot of people in the world think you and I have some odd laws or ways we follow Christ and things that we do, things that we don't do, why we come to church like tonight. Some of you weirdos were here Monday night. You know, some in the world, they don't understand that. So what are y'all doing? They think it's odd. Well, they're bringing this out. Well, you got these Jews are scattered. Can you imagine? Can you hear the legislation? You got these Christians. We got to get this money off the coins. We got to get the money off the dollar bill. We got to get the money off the pledge. We got to get in God, not the money, but the words God, out of our society. Same mentality. They got diverse laws, and they're diverse from all people, verse 8 says. And then he goes on to say this to the king, neither keep they the king's laws. That's a big accusation, isn't it? Then that crowd down at East Georgia Road, man, they run red lights. They don't stop at the stop signs. They steal Snickers bars at Walmart, and they just think they can do anything. Now, I know that's kind of extreme, or maybe not extreme enough. I don't know. They're making accusations. They're trying to devalue these people. They're trying to say these people are a danger, a menace to the society. He's laying out his case for this plan to destroy the people. Now, I can't help but think this is a similar spirit that took place in the days of World War II with Hitler and the Jewish people. He laid out the case that these Jewish people were diverse in their laws, they were spread all amongst the people, and that they did not obey the laws of the people. They were a harm to the society. They were bad for the community. They need to be annihilated as a race. You wouldn't even comprehend that such a thing could ever happen. It happened almost 70 years ago. That's not very long ago, is it? The spirit of things like this has been around a long time. You know where it stirs up? In the heart of man. A wicked, evil thing. And here, he brings up that they don't keep the king's laws, and then he says it, comes right out of his mouth, therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. You should not allow, that word suffer means allow them to stay. You can't keep following this. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver. Wow. So this diversity of these people, the disrespect of the Jews is mentioned here. And now you see a determination of a personal investment of Haman to give 10,000 talents of silver of his own money to fund this project to kill all the Jews. Well, he's pretty upset, isn't he? He hates them. He hates Mordecai. He hates those people. He probably thinks he's removing obstacles away that he might be more respected and honored. So he asked the king, if you'll do this, if it'll please you, I'll help fund it. I'll help pay for it. I'll give 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business. Now, Brother Donnie, this helps me see, too. We understand this is going to take a while. It's going to take a little bit of time to send all the letters to all the provinces, to get all the words spread out about this, and set people over the business of it. There were many Jews slaughtered. What, 6 million died in World War II time frame. And there were many people calling the shots way up top. But there's a lot of people involved with the charge of the business. And guess what? They were just as guilty. There's some powerful movies out there if you ever watch them that shows the common people in some of those little towns, Auschwitz in some of those towns, ashes burning up in their town. They just tried to ignore what was going on. They knew something was going on. These people will be charged over the business to be a part of the destruction of the Jewish people. Haman will give 10,000 talents of silver out of his own wealth to make sure this is done. This is his next move, showing how committed he is to this. And then we'll look at next week the decree being set in motion when the king will give him his ring and the king will commit, you don't have to pay for it, we'll take care of it. We don't need your money. Shows the king is involved with this as well. So in this chapter, we'll stop here tonight and move on. And we'll read more about the command as it is written in these verses. It's not just killing people like Mordecai, Brother Donnie. They're going to be allowed to kill the children, everybody, and possess their property. Annihilate a whole race of people and take everything they own, wiping them clean like they never existed. That's what's going on in Haman's heart. It's hard to like a man like that. It's hard to read this scripture. But I know the end of the story, so I don't get all real bad sad. Because I know standing in the shadows is Queen Esther. And this knucklehead Haman, he does not know that she's a Jew. Something's going to have to happen. And it's going to be a beautiful, powerful story as it unveils. And I hope that you'll stay with us. I hope you'll even read ahead. We won't even call it cheating. Amen. We'll call it prep. We'll call it prep. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, God, to study it. Help us to apply it. Lord, help us to draw out of the past to see similarities of things, Lord, in this book, the treatment of your people. Lord, maybe the future facing us as believers, as Christians, the climate of the day that hates the people of God. God, we're so thankful, Lord, no matter what takes place, we are able to learn to trust and to lean upon you and find our hope in you. And Lord, we pray that we might learn to love your word. And as the scriptures come together as a puzzle piece, we might understand and see more of your hand in the lives of your people throughout the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.